Starkey Swenson was presumed dead in 1983, and Swenson's case sat unsolved for 38 years. That is until a UW Oshkosh anthropologist and his class took up Swenson's case. They spent last spring and summer digging for his remains in the woods and fields near Umro, and then a breakthrough. They found Swenson's remains, and our guest today is going to tell us more about the Swenson case and how they continue to use anthropology to help solve cold cases in northeastern Wisconsin. And we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. You listen to podcasts or watch TV shows about cold cases? Yeah, they're irresistible. Are you curious about a cold case in your community? And what do you want to know about the work it takes to find human remains and the role anthropologists can play in crime solving? 1-800-642-1234. You can always email us, ideas@wpr.org. Jordan Karsten is with us today. He's an associate professor of anthropology and the chair of the Anthropology, Global Religions, and Culture Department at UW Oshkosh. Jordan and his students are working to solve cold cases in northeastern Wisconsin. And Jordan, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Really appreciate your time this afternoon. And then I'd start with just give us some idea of what role an anthropologist can play in cold cases.
Well, I mean, I help out with law enforcement across the state whenever they have questions about searching for a clandestine burial. If they've found bones and they don't know if they're human or animal, they'll give me a call to see if I can help. And then if they find human remains, I also will help, try to figure out who that person was. Was it a male or a female? How tall were they? How old were they when they died? Approximately how long has it been since they died? And so we have a lot of skills that we can use to help out law enforcement when they have one of these kind of suspicious death investigations. And so, yeah, I think we can bring a lot to the table.
Hey, Jordan, is this something you expected when you got into anthropology?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I think of myself mostly as an archaeologist.
Yeah.
And so my archaeological site I did my research on for my PhD is in Western Ukraine. And so some of our work in archaeology is finding things that are buried. Yeah. And so we utilize technology like ground penetrating radar, pedestrian surveys, in order to find this, these objects buried in the ground. And then it's our expertise to actually excavate them and do our best to make sure that we recover everything that might be there, right? Even the smallest bone fragment, the smallest artifact. And so by taking those methods, the methods that we use in archaeology and applying them to cold cases where you're looking for clandestine burials, we can really contribute to the effort.
Sifting and winnowing with Jordan Karsten, our guest, associate professor of anthropology at UW Oshkosh. And Jordan, you have a podcast about the work you're doing to solve cold cases. It's called Cold Case of Frozen Tundra. What got you started on this?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, so Winnebago County Sheriff got a hold of me 2 Octobers ago. So October 2020. And they asked if I would be willing to help with the search for the remains of Starkey Swenson. And I didn't know anything about the case at the time. And we went out to a scene in Umro where they had some intelligence to suggest that this individual who was murdered in 1983 was actually buried. And so they wanted me to, use those skills I was just talking about in terms of doing a pedestrian survey, using some remote sensing technology in order to try to figure out if there's something buried in the area. And we went out there and it was a big project. I mean, a big, huge property to really search it kind of comprehensively. And so I got into the case just kind of figuring out what happened. And as I did, I realized that the story of Starkey Swenson's murder was a really interesting story. And it also gave me the idea, because podcasts, true crime podcasts, are so popular that by putting one together, you never know for a cold case if somebody hears that you're doing it or chooses to listen, it might just trigger a memory that, that might actually help break open a cold case. And those people might be, they might have that kind of recollection of something that happened in the past. Call me, call the investigators, and we might be onto something totally new. And so I figured not only would it be interesting, and not only does Starkey Swenson deserve to have his story told and not forgotten, but it does play this kind of additional role of potentially encouraging people to come forward with information to help break open a cold case. And so that gave me the idea to put a a true crime podcast together surrounding the Starkey Swenson disappearance.
And you're getting ready for your next one, and we'll get to that first. But one of the questions I had for you, Jordan, was specifically, you know, how do you do this without, you're dealing with tragedy, and how do you deal with this while protecting those who were traumatized by this tragedy? So when you were dealing with Starkey Swenson and looking for his remains, what was your relationship with the Swenson family?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, before I even got started in the first podcast and looking at Starkey Swenson's case, I talked to law enforcement to say, hey, is this something that would be useful? Is this something that's not going to be harmful to the family and friends of somebody like Starkey Swenson? And they decided that it was a good idea. And as we put it together, I actually became friends with some of Starkey Swenson's family members. And as we actually carried out our search in the Omro area, his family members came out to visit our excavation and our search. And so in terms of my relationship with them, I ended up developing a close relationship with them. And, you know, I think that generally speaking, they appreciated the fact that somebody wanted to take a lot of time to tell the story so it's not forgotten, to put the effort in, to try to make moves on a case that was almost four decades old. And so honestly, the relationships I made with them are relationships I'll keep for the rest of my life.
So this brings us to your next investigation. Jordan Karsten, this is the story of the disappearance of Lori Jean Deppis, who disappeared in 1992.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting case. And for most people in Wisconsin, it is one that people are familiar with. What happened after the Starkey Swenson case is we had a pretty big listenership. Like, we had a lot of people who are tuning into our podcast from the Fox Valley, Green Bay area, and from across Wisconsin. And so I thought to myself, okay, could we, you know, focus this in with our listeners on another case? And if we do, we still stand the chance of, you know, triggering these old memories and getting someone to come forward with new information. And so we decided to look for another case that we could do, and we found the case of Lori Deppis, who actually went missing from the Fox River Mall back in the early 1990s. And so I talked to the investigators who were in charge of the case. They got in touch with the family. We got everybody on board. You know, I wasn't going to do it if the investigators and the family didn't think that this was a good idea. And everybody thought that it was a good idea, especially heading into the 30th anniversary of her disappearance. And so we're in the process of researching and putting together our episodes outlining the cold case and the disappearance of Lori Deppis.
Our guest, Jordan Karsten, Associate Professor of Anthropology at UW-Oshkosh. Your calls at 1-800-642-1234, where Jake and Appleton standing by. Good afternoon, Jake. Jake, are you there? Looks like we're going to miss out on Jake. So let's take a moment here. But to reiterate, if you've got a question for Jordan, 1-800-642-1234. And what might you know about the disappearance of Lori Deppis back in 1992 from the Fox River Vault Mall? We'll continue the conversation with our guest, Jordan Karsten, Associate Professor of Anthropology and the Chair of the Anthropology, Global Religions, and Culture Department at the UW-Oshkosh as we continue on these cold cases here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret today, and we're continuing our talk about how anthropology can be used to solve cold cases here in Wisconsin. Jordan Karsten, Chair of the Anthropology Department at UW-Oshkosh, stays with us, and now Delaney Rickles joins us. Delaney is an anthropology student at UW-Oshkosh. She worked with Jordan in the search for Starkey Swenson's remains. Delaney, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate your time this afternoon. And just so, tell us a little bit about your experience on the search for Starkey Swenson's remains and what that work was like for you as an anthropology student at UW-Oshkosh.
Well, I worked on it back in October of 2020 as well. And for me there, I was mainly metal detecting and trying to see if there was anything in the woods that we ended up excavating, and got a lot of scratches from all of the trees and bushes that we had to climb through.
Yeah. So
Delaney got the bad jobs, unfortunately. she's a real trooper.
Which is why we invited her here this afternoon. So Delaney, tell us a little bit about what this field work looks like. You know, when you go out there to do this, as you mentioned, you get all the scratches and scrapes. What are some of the tools you need? What's the site like? Give us the lay of the land.
Oh man, the lay of the land. Well, when we first went, it was full of trees and bushes and like the really awful ones that have little thorns. And so those were awful. Once we got there, though, in the summer with the whole class, we were lucky enough to have all of the main landscape kind of plowed down so we'd be able to dig. But other than that, I mean, the main tools we use were like shovels, trowels, and buckets.
And what would you think, what would you say was the most difficult part or period of this investigation into the remains of Starkey Swenson, Delaney?
Oh, the hardest part probably was like not knowing if we were going to find him or not, because a lot of us were putting so much like time and effort into helping this family. And when you like sit down and think about it, you get really worried that you're not going to be able to solve it for them in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So this Starkey Swenson case, it's from the early 80s. But this was a case, as I understand, Jordan Karsten, where the person had committed to the murder, but we just did not have the Starkey's remains. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the story itself is really interesting. And of course, I encourage people who are interested to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
But it's what happened was in the early 90s, a man named John Andrews was convicted of Starkey's murder. He actually pled an Alford plea, which allowed him to maintain his innocence, and he ended up sentenced to homicide by negligent use of a motor vehicle. And so, I mean, very technically speaking, the case was over and solved. The issue was that Starkey Swenson himself had never been found.
So the chance to heal and to find some closure for the Starkey Swenson family. But now you're looking into this cold case of missing woman, Lori Depess. And so let's start with what we know about Lori Depess at this point, Jordan, and how this investigation moves forward for you.
Yeah, I mean, the case itself is it's another one that grabs your attention. I mean, Lori was this young woman working at the Fox River Mall in the 1990s. When malls were basically like downtowns, and she left one evening after closing her store, shows up at her boyfriend's house, and they hear her drive in because she had a loud muffler, but she never comes to the door. And when they go downstairs, a group that was there kind of gathered for a social evening, they see that her car is locked, that a soda cup sitting on the roof of her car, and there's no sign of Lori Depess. And that's basically where, in a lot of ways, the case leaves off. I mean, it's gone down a lot of different kind of investigative paths, including serial killers. And so I think telling the story as accurately as possible, not going into things that are kind of fantastical. I mean, just the facts and trying to stick to it and laying it out there for people where it might encourage people to come forward to give us some information to help with this case. That's the goal.
Delaney Rinkle, as an anthropology student, were you expecting to be involved in solving crimes?
Oh, no. Not even a little bit.
But once you were, I mean, did that change the way you saw what your field of study could be and could do?
Oh, definitely. It was one of those things that I tried in, like, the summer of 2020 with Jordan, but I didn't realize what you could use anthropology for as much. And then when we started doing that, it was like, oh, okay, kind of dig this. I could do this. And he just keeps finding new cases that I volunteer to.
So yes, will you be involved in the search for Lori Depess?
Oh my gosh, I have to be. I would be upset.
Well, Delaney's, as she said, she digs it, but she's actually a very good digger. And so she's... So as long as I can keep her around, I will, because she's great at excavating and a nice, good, careful excavator, even though I tend to give her some of the hardest jobs.
Well, yeah, you mentioned this, that you're looking for everything. And when you're looking for everything from something that can be 30 plus years old, it could be as much as dust at this point. So Delaney, as an anthropology student, how do you discriminate some dust that doesn't matter from some dust that just might?
Oh, I have to ask so many questions.
Yeah.
From Jordan specifically, like when we were digging for in Almro, there was all of these rocks that were just so close to bone colored that pretty much every single one, I was like, I know this is a rock,
but
I need to verify if this is a rock because it's just a little weird, the color, the shape.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're going through every piece to try to identify whether or not it's relevant to your investigation. That's every piece out in the middle of thorns and bushes and shrubs and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not to mention that Wisconsin is full of these glacial rocks. And so while we would dig, you know, we would sift through the earth and we would come up with these rocks.
Oh.
And that throws people for a little bit of a loop. And, you know, we give them in-class training for human osteology, the study of the human skeleton. But when you're in the field, I mean, the pressure is on,
right?
Because you don't want to misidentify something.
Hmm. So you set up the disappearance of Lori Deppis, coming home from the Fox River Mall, or going to her boyfriend's apartment in the Fox River Mall, but never evidently going inside as far as we know. So where does that leave an anthropologist to begin looking 30 years later?
Well, I think the issue comes down to, are there credible leads in terms of where somebody potentially disposed of her? And it's not a pleasant thing to think of, but if there are credible leads, then we can help in terms of making that search happen. And it is relying on things like pedestrian survey. It is relying on students who can recognize human skeletal elements. It is relying on technology like ground penetrating radar in order to try to comprehensively search for places that at least are potentially of interest.
By the way, we've got a link to the podcast up at WPR.org/Central Time where you can find it anytime. And part of this conversation, Jordan and Delaney, is to ask our audience whether or not they have any knowledge of or might have any information pertaining to the disappearance of Lori Deppis. It's a story that got a lot of attention 30 years ago, but this is 30 years later. What can you expect to find?
Well, I mean, honestly, we've had, since we announced that we were going to undertake this kind of research and put out a podcast focused on her case and her story, we've had a lot of people come forward and they've reached out to me, they've reached out to law enforcement. And so, you know, that is the goal. We don't know what we're going to find. I mean, the thing is, you never know if you've got some kind of connection to this case or you have some information that you might even think is trivial, it might not be. I mean, on some of these cold cases, the smallest piece of information that somebody might think doesn't matter, it might be the difference between, you know, having a successful search and not. And so, you know, I urge people who think they have any kind of, you know, information that might be relevant to come forward.
Delaney Rickle is a UW Oshkosh college student. As you look at anthropology and what it teaches you, where do you see yourself going? Where would you like to go from your education?
That's like the age-old question.
Mm-hmm.
In a perfect world, I would love to go to graduate school and get a degree in biological anthropology, similar to what Jordan did.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I mean, really lucky, it'd be cool to do like forensic anthropology as a job. That would be like...
Yeah.
Top tier.
Well, how many forensic anthropologists are actually out there? Yeah.
There's a reasonable number of people who work in the field. Many people are professors, but there are people who work for, you know, medical legal institutions, medical examiner's offices, you know, for coroners, this kind of thing, the defense department. So they are there, but yeah, it does require some advanced education.
Absolutely. But as we look towards what you're going to do next, Jordan Karsten, is there a timeline for this podcast? Can you possibly give us some idea of what to expect, where we start a few episodes and see where it goes, or, what are we looking at here?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so we are, number one, processing some of the information that's coming into us from people across Wisconsin and actually across the United States. And we're also talking to folks and we're putting these episodes together and they will be out this spring. We'll have episodes starting to be released before the summer, guaranteed.
Wow. All right. And we've got a link up again at WPR.org/Central Time. And you said you've already got leads that you are looking at. Are you doing any digging or looking towards any sites to dig as the our frozen tundra begins to thaw?
Yeah, not quite yet. I mean, we have some ideas that we have already based on some information. So I guess the best thing I can say is stay tuned, because I think I sincerely hope that we have some credible leads to follow.
And does Delaney join you on the podcast? Will we hear her voice at any time?
It's probably time for her to, don't you think, Delaney?
She's got some practice now.
Yeah, right? Maybe. We'll think about it.
Well, Jordan, I want to thank you for sharing your podcast and your work with us this afternoon. Delaney, I want to thank you both for joining us and looking forward to hearing what you have come this spring.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You bet. That's Jordan Karsten, Associate Professor and Chair of the Department of Anthropology, Global Religions and Culture at UW-Oshkosh. And also Delaney Rickle, Anthropology student at UW-Oshkosh. Jordan and Delaney joined us to talk about using anthropology to solve cold cases in northeastern Wisconsin. And a reminder, a link to their podcast is available at WPR.org/Central Time.